It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, welcome back to Two Girls in the World. I'm Vic.
And I'm Charlie.
Hello.
Hello.
We didn't have a catch up last week, so I feel like we've got bits and bobs to catch up. I mean, I don't really have much to say about my life, but what do you have to say about yours?
Not much either.
Oh, really? Trying to sleep train your baby.
No, don't say
that.
Oh,
no.
Because I think when people say, I don't actually, one of the
She's
main...
She's not doing the crying method.
No, the Ferber method. I'm not doing... No, actually, I always get worried about offending people, you know.
Yeah.
I know people that have done it and it's worked.
But it's not your preference.
It's not my preference.
Yeah.
Do absolutely do what you want. That I really couldn't do that. Mm. But that's probably because of the way Richie is. That I know we'd really struggle through that.
Yeah.
Some kids, I think, just like cry a little bit, then they're fucking done. And
yeah.
And they sleep trained and they'll do it. But no, Rich is a fucking weird one, isn't he?
Yeah, and he had you up for all night.
Yeah, last night he went to bed. Rick put him to bed, went to bed. So 8 p.m. Then he lasted till 10 p.m. when I get in bed. He did his first wake up when I got in bed. Then he didn't do one whole block of sleep until 5 a.m.
You should have seen Charlie opening the door to me when I turned up. She looked like Stick of the Dump.
It was really bad. I washed my hair before I got in bed. Epic fail, because I've got wild, curly, frizzy hair. But not just that, he'd been pulling on it all night. That's one thing we have to stop.
Yeah.
He like pulls my hair to soothe himself,
oh,
which
really?
I hate. Yeah, that's one of the main things we've been told, that if we eliminate that, it might actually stop him waking up as frequently.
Can you not get something that's got hair?
Yeah, I'm going to try a few dolls.
Like a lion or something.
Yeah, no, we have that. I really don't think that'd work.
Right. Give him a Barbie.
Yeah, something like that. But I thought a bit more snuggly for in bed. So I am going to try that. The woman that I've been like speaking to for like advice and tips has said, yeah, have a little try. But she's recognised that that is probably where some of the issues lay. Like, he just seeks so much comfort from me. When Rick's done the night with him, he's better. When anyone else has done a night with him, he's okay, but he climbs on top of it. He just wants to be in me.
He's like, can I crawl back up, Mum?
Yeah, I think if he could, he would.
Oh.
Yeah, so yeah. And yeah, so I went to the door. I'm like, hello. You just looked at me, you're like, are you okay?
No, because Charlie has naturally really curly hair, but you get that, what's it called?
The Brazilian blow dry. But I haven't had it in ages.
No, but your ends of your hair are still straight.
I'm in a really, really tricky phase, guys. So basically, you can't get that done when you're pregnant. And because I've not had it done for nearly 2 years
now. Have you not
had
it done since you were pregnant?
No.
Oh, I thought you got it done before Thailand.
No.
Right. Because of breastfeeding?
Yeah.
Right.
So the last time I got it done was before Bali.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So loads of my hair has grown, especially through pregnancy. So if you can picture this, I've got like all frizzy, curly hair up to a certain point, but then where the treatment like still just stays like on your ends, that older hair is still poking straight. Yeah. It is the naughtiest hairdo I've ever seen.
But I want to start a petition for you to have your full curly hair back.
Well, I can't until it grows out.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, you couldn't until it gets to a point that you cut it off.
Yeah.
But right now you'd have like a little curly bob.
Yeah, but you think I should cut it. And I'm like, no. But that's why I always just have my hair straight, because
yeah,
I just can't. But this is what I'm hating. Like, I don't even have the time. It's such a like procedure, like wash, dry, straight. And I can't blow dry my own hair.
Yeah, I can.
Especially my hair. Mm. So it's like so long. I actually don't have that time to do it. And I do. I put that time aside. But I'm really getting to this point. Like, even my nails, I'm like, I don't feel like I have a spare hour or an hour that I want to use on my nails.
Yeah.
But I know I would feel really shitty if I didn't have my nails, because my nails are terrible. I would just have little boy hands. But I'm really getting like that. I feel like, do you ever get like this? Like, I kind of want to, like, glow down to glow up. Like, I want to strip back to basics. I want to be able to have my natural hair and look nice. I don't want fake nails on. Do you ever get like that?
Yeah, I do. I don't really get it because I really love having my nails on.
Yeah.
But I usually get wild nails and I'm definitely getting to a point where I just want my, like, a nice French.
Yeah.
But I get it more with makeup.
Yeah.
Where sometimes I'm just like, do you know what? I want to, and like, it's something I feel like I want to challenge myself to at some point, of like a month of no makeup. And it's not like I wear makeup all the time anyway, because I rarely do. But for me, if I'm like going out or I'm doing something, I'm like, I couldn't do that without putting makeup on.
Yes.
But I would love to challenge myself to like a full month of, no matter what I've got on, no makeup.
Do you know,
and
when
see
you
if
should
I could
do
it.
We should do glow downuary. In January.
Yeah, but then I'm waiting another year.
Oh, yeah. But what, a month to do it? Like, just glow down to then glow up.
Yeah, didn't that... I'm sure I saw someone do something like that. Tay Blue. That Tay Blue.
Is that where I've got it from?
Well, I don't know. You follow her, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
But she did, like, glow down.
I always see her. Oh, is that what she did?
Yeah.
Well, that's where... Ah, well, I've definitely got it from her then.
Yeah, and it was basically
that just,
like,
came to my head, so I must have seen it.
Yeah.
Unless it's a thing. Maybe it is a thing.
Yeah, maybe it is. But yeah, like, I do like that idea of just be natural.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, sometimes I just don't shave my fanny for a bit. I'm like, I'm going to be wild. You
could
do that because you like
to,
yeah. But no, I can. The only thing that makes me get to a point where I'm like, I need to shave my fanny, is when I'm walking Enzo or something and it's got that itchy that I'm literally scratching my fanny in the middle of the park.
See, I get to that itch point after a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's because it's growing back and I hate it and it has to go.
Yeah.
It has to go. I've never got to that. Do you remember when I was pregnant and Rick used to shave my fanny?
Yeah.
Like, literally, because I couldn't see anything. And I remember I did that so I was still shaving my fanny, couldn't see. And I did that massive gash. Do you remember? I sent you a picture.
Yeah.
And there was blood everywhere. And I cut my fanny. And like, and Rick was like, right, I will do it for you. And then every week he used to shave my fanny.
Oh, like a little work of art.
Yeah, he's very precise.
I can imagine.
Yeah, he's great.
Well, I guess men are used to like the
beard
trim.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm changing my opinions a bit on like fanny hair.
In what way?
I think what I'm starting to like is... I don't like to have hair underneath because that feels really itchy for me.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to like a little, what do they call it? Like a little strip.
A landing strip.
Yeah, like a little bit of hair.
I used to have that when I was like 16. I thought I was like a little porn star.
No, but I quite like a little bit, so I don't feel like a child.
Yeah, I get that. But I just shave because I hate it. There's something I hate about it. I don't actually really do it for the aesthetic. Like, no one really sees my fanny.
Yeah.
I mean, I do take Richie swimming every Thursday. So I do probably need to keep... Didn't we once get a question box in? What was it for now? Didn't someone say, how much is too hair for going for... the swimming pool or something like
that.
That
was like one of the first episodes.
Was it? It's just like come to my head.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I just hate it.
Mm,
it's the feel. It's not the look. It's purely the feel. I think a bush can be sexy. My friend she's smoking hot though. My friend used to have a bit of a bush.
I think it's got to be tame.
Yeah, and it's just like sometimes it just looks like porn style.
Yeah, I think what I'm noticing, right, since I've been 30, since I've turned 30, I've noticed some differences in my body. Mm-hmm. My pubic region has extended.
What?
I know. And I feel like it happened overnight.
Wait,
I feel like...
When you say your pubic region, do you mean like...
On my vagina? Down there?
Yeah, but what I mean is... You don't mean like the late, like the underneath. You mean like when you're looking at your front on and you see what I'd call that your fanny, but it's just like where you shave.
Yeah, but do you know, it used to be fit quite perfectly in between my legs, like in between where my groin is, the hair would be all, you know, within the central part.
Yeah.
I feel like now it's spread. It's going on to like my legs and stuff.
Yeah, I get
proper
on my
pubic.
Legs.
Yeah, but I've never had that. That's something I've noticed since I turned 30.
Your pubic region, the hair.
The hair.
Sorry, I thought you meant like your fanny grew. Your pubic region grew. I'm like, Vic, I think that's in
no.
your head.
Because pubic region is like your pubes.
No, your pubic region is the area pubic. It doesn't.
Yeah, so
hair.
What I'm saying is the surface area
of the hair,
of which, like, yes. My pubic region has expanded.
Right.
So it's like on my legs now. So like, really,
yeah.
Is it the biggest problem when you put a bikini on and you've got a bit of like hair coming out? But do I want that? No, not really. No. But I'm having to, if I don't want it, stay on top of it more on holiday.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Welcome to 30s, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I would just love to be complete. That's why I get laser. I'd love to just be completely hairless. I've never had it on my legs.
Oh, really?
I don't think it'd work that great on my legs.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, my legs don't get, because I've never
don't,
shaved my legs.
You're the hairiest girl.
No, I am. Not, my body is so hairy. Like, I've got hairy belly, hairy boobs,
you
hairy, every
though,
hairy
don't
back.
You?
I do. I like, especially like in the summer when it all goes blonde. Like, I really like that.
Yeah.
But when no, my legs are not really like that. Yeah.
The hair is blonde.
Ooh, love it.
So surfer girl.
Oh,
I love it. Yeah.
I don't know how we've got here from you talking about Richie sleeve training.
Yeah, Jesus. But that's the beauty of it. Let's yeah. just carry on.
But I mean, speaking of hair, when this body hair in swimsuits, bikinis or whatever, when this comes out, I'm not going to be able to share this anywhere because it's a surprise. I'm going to be in Menorca for my dad's 60th.
Oh.
And it's a surprise to my dad.
I didn't know what you were going to say then. I'm like, I thought you were going to surprise me.
Really?
Yeah, I think I felt a bit funny. I was like, oh my God, what are you going to say? I was like, all right, yeah, you go on holiday.
I cannot wait. I feel like I usually by this point, I've been on like 7 holidays. Yeah. And this year I just don't really have many. But it's my dad's 60th. My dad's favourite thing in the world is just being with the family. And
that is
he,
so cute, isn't
I
it?
Know, it is really cute. But to be honest, I was thinking this before. I was like, if I'm bored at the weekend, I don't really text my mates to be like, what are you doing?
Book a holiday.
No, I would text my mum and dad and be like, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
And I'd go chill with my mum and dad. Mm. They're just like easy to be around. So, yeah, his favourite thing is being with us. So he knows he's going away, but he thinks he's going with my mum and he doesn't know where he's going. So they're going to go to the airport and then me, my brother, Mike, his wife, and my brother's wife, by the way. And
Mike's wife, I was like, something else to share, Vic.
And my auntie are going to surprise them.
That's so good.
And we've
good.
Got a villa for a week in Menorca and I cannot wait.
That's going to be stunning.
Oh,
I don't think we've ever done it, not me and you, like our family. I was just trying to think then. I don't think we've ever done, like, you know, a surprise like that.
Oh, really?
The only thing I can think of is when it was Kathy's 30th and me and Rick, she goes to Ireland every Christmas and, like, stays with the family and stuff like that. And me and Rick turned up and all the cousins and all the family came one day, like, you know, to celebrate it. And I think we pulled it off, unless she was really good. She knew when it got to the day something was going on because we're like, let's go for a walk, you know, while everyone else arrived. But I don't think we've ever pulled off, like, you know, a holiday surprise.
Really? Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think my dad is catching on.
Yeah, there's something.
Yeah, like we were just having dinner. This was a few months ago and he was like, well, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if you're coming. Or if it's just me. And I was like, so I was really trying to throw him off the scent and I've been trying to say things that I've got booked in, like, do you know that week when when
I'm
we're
so
going
busy.
Away? Yeah. But no, I think he kind of knows. But I think even if you semi know, but you're not 100% sure, he'll still be really shocked. He'll cry.
Yeah. Well,
you think I cry a lot. My dad cries.
Is that
a
where
lot.
You get it from?
Definitely. And I feel like me and my dad have got this, like connection where, like, if I cried, my dad would cry, like, yeah. Regardless of what I'm crying about. And if my dad cries, I would cry. Like, it's
oh my,
like, it
must
just
be
happens.
So much crying.
I know.
oh my god, that's
well, no, we don't cry. Not really. But like, oh, say like my dad's bought me a gift or
no,
something.
No, it's lovely. I think it is lovely. But yeah, I can just really imagine cute. You being like dead upset about something and starting crying. It's like, oh yeah, I'm crying now.
No, it really would be. Oh. It's cute. Really cute.
It's me. Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
That was so like, good. Choir boy.
You actually have a good voice. I've got the worst voice ever. Hey, by the way, what? I saw people commenting on that TikTok or Insta post that you did that like pretty much went viral.
Yeah.
People saying how good your voice
people
was.
People were saying that I'm a good singer. Yeah. Fuck me.
No,
I was
do
actually...
think you're all right. I don't think, wow, Vic, you're a good singer, but you are decent enough.
Yeah.
Especially compared to... We've completely just gone off. I will get back, but I just need to say this one thing because I bet people don't know this about me.
What?
I am. Yeah, so I have...
You are actually...
I have bilateral high-frequency hearing loss, severe...
Right.
So that means in both ears, yeah, exactly the same. I have severe hearing loss, but it's frequency, not volume, which essentially means I'm tone deaf.
Yeah.
I can't hear certain letters of the alphabet. They think it's from birth, but right, it never got picked up at birth, but they don't understand why I would have developed it because it's like... Like, they ask me questions like, oh, did you work in a factory? You know, mm-hmm, all that stuff. Yeah, it's like, yeah, proper 80-year-old who's worked in a factory hearing loss. But I did used to rave at Sankey's at the weekend and I would stand on the speaker. You know what I
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but I feel like that can't be it.
I know, but that's the only thing. Like, I said that in my appointment. I was like, because they were like, have you ever... Like, frequently, like, have you had a job where you've been exposed to, like, you know, really, like, loud noises and yeah, all that stuff? And I was like, well, I did used to go to Sankey's most weekends. They were like, that probably didn't do it. I was like, I was literally getting blown away by the speaker. Like, did you ever go to Sankey's?
I went to Sankey's once.
Do you know the speakers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the
do you know,
speakers.
Like, that is quite frequent exposure, yeah, isn't it? So I yeah, thought, anyway... That's a little nugget for you. I'm very deaf. I sing the worst in the world.
I don't think I've actually heard you sing.
Well, no.
But no, we will have sang like in the car, but I've never heard you and thought, wow, that's really bad.
It's really bad to the point where if I do ever like have a little sing song, Rick, honestly, it makes him like quite.
It makes his toes curl.
Yeah, infuriated. He's like, please stop because it's awful. You know when, like, something's not nice to hear?
Yeah.
It's that.
Oh.
I know, but I don't mind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In that situation, you're the problem. Well, you're not. Your ears are the problem.
My ears are the problem. Yeah. We both have problematic ears.
Yeah. We both have special ears.
But yes, this is today's topic. Am I the problem? So we did a question box.
we got loads of questions in.
We basically got people to write in with like issues, dramas, situations that they're having where they were a little bit unsure, or they've asked themselves at one point, am I the problem?
Mm-hmm.
And are you gonna start off, give us one?
Yeah, I'm gonna kick us off. I mean, to be fair, some of these that we've got in, I feel like people have just kind of shared their drama or their dilemma, and we can't really judge whether they're the problem or not.
Like, we'd need to know so much
drama.
More.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we could make it up. I love making yeah, it up. Like, yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, so I feel like we need to do our disclaimer. We're not professionals.
We are not.
We're not therapists. If you went to a therapist with this, they would not give you this sort of opinion. They would probably just listen to what you're saying
yes,
and help you figure it out yourself. But we're going to give our opinions.
Yes.
Okay, so we're just going to kick it off with two, and they are on the topic of relationships. So first of all, this one really made my jaw drop. My boyfriend asked me to pay half because I ate his leftovers at home 5 hours later, and then she's just put, the fuck?
Sorry, I just need to say I'm doing a face. You won't know that unless you go on our Instagram, but what? Wait, they've had a meal at home, like they've eaten the tea.
I reckon it's probably not tea. I reckon they've either gone to a restaurant and he's brought leftovers, or it's takeaway leftovers. And he's left them.
Oh my God. Yeah.
For five hours. 5 hours they've been untouched. So she's thought, I'll have a bit of that. I'm hungry.
That is fucked.
So he said, give me half the money.
That is fucked. He might have been having a really bad day.
That's beyond a bad day.
Even on my worst day, I would never.
Never?
Oh, that's weird. Wait, how long have they been together? I need to know.
I don't know. I didn't ask.
We don't know anything.
No, we don't. But let's presume they've been together for a while because I'm guessing she lives with him.
Yeah. Unless they've just gone back. But anyway, we don't even have to go into this. He's the problem.
He's the problem.
You are not the problem.
No.
Little and hungry it, girl.
Yeah, you should be able to eat your partner's leftovers. No qualms.
Yeah, and not even a question. No.
No, he should have been saying, I'm glad you had them leftovers.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I hope you didn't give him the money, because if you did, you'd be slightly the problem. You should have said, fuck off.
Yeah, yeah. If she gave the money, then yes, you are both the problem.
And I hope you didn't. I hope you walked away.
Yeah, me too. That's mad.
Yeah. And right. God bless you. We're with you in solidarity.
Hit me with the next one.
Okay. Oh, this... I feel really tight on this girl. So she said she's stuck in the house with a recent ex while he started dating a new girl.
Oh,
they're
no.
only really 2 weeks over after 13 years. So they must have broke up 2 weeks ago. They've been together for 13 years. They're still stuck in the same house together. It happens.
Oh no, they might have a mortgage.
I know. And he's already dating someone else.
Oh my God. I'm not joking. That's made me feel a bit emotional.
Whoa, Charlie's actually, her eyes are welling up.
That must be absolutely awful.
Yeah, it's made me feel a bit sick.
Yeah. No, it has me. Like, it's really hit me, that.
Wow, Charlie really is. Girl, Charlie's with you in this.
No, it has. That's really hot. Like, where is the respect?
I know.
Unless something like, you know, you've not, like, provided all the info and, like, you've, like, really done him dirty. You've, like, and he's, like, kind of fighting back. Like, you know, if you cheated on him. Or, you know, something like that, which I'm not getting that vibe at all. And he's just, like, kind of... You know, just wanting to shit all over it and just be like, yeah, I'm doing this.
Yeah, getting
revenge. But other than that, where I would maybe think, right, he's having a really tough time.
Yeah.
He's just acting out. That is horrible.
Yeah.
The thought of the heartbreak of that, not only the heartbreak of breaking up, whether you wanted to or not, and then bring it, oh, no.
After 13 years.
13 years.
And I know that she'll be thinking right now that she's a bit of the problem. She'll be thinking, why have I stayed with him for 13 years?
Oh, not that. She might just be thinking, oh my God, he just doesn't even like me. Like, you'd feel like
But like, she'll be thinking, why did I stay? Like, he clearly can't have respect for me.
Yeah.
To do that, that's awful.
Yeah. So he is the problem.
A massive problem. Massive red flag. And I hope the new girl, she's also a problem.
Yeah,
do you know if someone...
But hold on. Does she know the ins and outs?
Well,
you know what guys are like. He's probably not told her, like, the full situation.
But what I'm getting from this, and this might not be the case, is because she's saying she's stuck in the house with a recent ex, I'm thinking... He's brought her back.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. So new girl must know. She'd be like, who's that girl? Can't say my sister.
Oh, my God. Is he bringing her back to shag as well?
Well, probably. He's not going to come back for a little tickle, is he?
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, I hate this.
I know. We feel so just awful for you and really hope that you're able to get out of that house.
Yep.
Quick.
Yeah. Do all you can to get out, I reckon.
Yeah. Like, protect yourself.
And not even just, like, for the long term, as in being able to move out. Get out of the house. Go for walks. See your friends. Do as much as you can out of that space.
Ooh, yeah,
that
yeah.
That space must be, like, crawling with negative
energy.
It
needs a, what's it called?
Saging.
He needs saging. Oh, God bless you.
Yeah. Okay, that's really, really made me feel down.
Oh, I think quite a few of these might make us feel.
Oh, really?
Well, they just people are just not in nice situations.
Do we have a funny one now or not?
Well, they're not really funny. These we've asked people for the dilemmas and the dramas,
okay,
haven't we?
No, come on, I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, they're living it. We can listen to it.
Yeah,
right.
No, we need one now where we think the reader's the problem.
Right. Okay. I've got some of them.
Have you? Shall I read one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had this best friend. We met at work in 2015, and then, so what's that?
A decade!
That's a decade! And then stayed friends after we changed jobs. Sign of a good friendship.
Yeah.
She didn't help my sister plan anything to do with my baby shower. Okay, no biggie in my eyes.
No.
Let's carry on.
I don't know. I think
different friends have different roles.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah, that's nothing screaming out to me just yet. She never offered to help with my little boy when I was going through a tough time after losing my mum. Okay, that's really awful, losing your mum. But also the thing that's screaming out to me is it her place to offer to help with your little boy? Let me carry on. She didn't come to my hen do or help plan it. Okay, let me just speak. There's clearly a big list here.
Yeah.
She didn't come to my hen do or help plan it, in brackets. She had a weekend away booked with her fam in a caravan.
I need to know for that because I think best friend not going to your hen is not very nice.
Yes.
But was this her weekend with the family already booked?
Yeah.
Or did she book it afterwards?
Yeah.
We do need a little bit of context for that.
It said she was a bridesmaid. Over the years, she always used to post pics of her and her other friend on nights out, but never me and her. I could tell we weren't talking as much. Then last year in September, she didn't so much as text me to wish me happy birthday. And when I reached out to her, she was all, hey, sorry, been really busy. Then when I called her out, she said, oh, well, you've not wished me happy holiday. I didn't message her again after that. But then I saw on her Insta, she had a bereavement, in brackets, great uncle. She wasn't very close to them, but I reached out and said, I'm sorry for your loss. Then we spoke a bit, updated each other. She said she'd had the worst few months of her life, in brackets, crying face. She had a, as in sad face, she had a leak in her house or something, so had to get a whole floor fixed or something. She asked how I had been, how my little boy was, then we didn't talk again. Nothing else was mentioned about what had happened. That was in October last year. Sorry if I'm reading this a bit slow. I'm trying to piece it together as I'm reading it. Are you getting the whole picture?
Yeah, okay. Definitely. And okay. I think the listeners need to... They need to be able to process it one by one.
I haven't spoken to her since. The anniversary of my mum passing came and went. Christmas without my mum came and went. And my mum's birthday came and went. Not once did she reach out, even if she hadn't remembered the date. I posted about it on social media and she saw... I was absolutely heartbroken. Now, last month she got engaged and I haven't reached out, well, because apparently we're just not friends anymore. I don't think I can forgive her for not reaching out on those significant dates. And out of principle, I don't want to, as I don't feel I'm in the wrong. Sorry for the essay. Kiss.
Oh.
Do you have immediate thoughts? I feel like this is quite a lot to unpack, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unpack, same.
I think my first thoughts are, and I think this is where I always go when there's a bit of a mismatch in friendships. Mm-hmm. First of all, obviously the communication is dire.
Absolutely.
It's between the two of you. There's no communication. And because of, well, what I'm getting from this is there's not enough communication. Mm-hmm. And because of this, what we're doing is we're putting things, one thing on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. And
point
all of
scoring.
This, yeah, this emotion is building up. It's getting bigger and bigger. And while some of those things might be like tiny events, but if you'd spoke and said, listen, that really upset me. could we, like, in future, something like this would feel better for me? Like, having that communication, laying that expectation down, you wouldn't feel the need to have the whole tally of all of these problems stacking on top of each other. But because it sounds like there's not been that communication, there's not been those expectations of, you know, how you expect her to reach out and stuff like that, she probably just doesn't know. Like, some people are not like that.
I was just about to say, I think even though you could be best friends with someone, someone could be, actually, even you, like, I don't, you've never, like, fucked up or anything like that, but you're not good with dates.
No.
Sometimes you get confused when Mike's birthday is.
Yeah.
Your partner.
And you tell me, like, every month when your birthday is, and I'm like...
So, as far as dates go, I don't think, even if you have a best friend, it's their responsibility to remember that, say, the date your mum passed away. A little disclaimer, though. I, like, you know, for people that are important to me, I will put something in like that in my diary, in my iPhone, and click it as every year, a recurring thing. I do it for my friend when my mum's friend passed away.
Right.
Just so I know, so I know that I can maybe reach out that day. But I don't think she'd even expect me to. Might be appreciated if I did, but I don't want to forget. But that's because I don't expect people to do that for me, but I think feel like that's important for me, like I want to remember. But anyway, just a little tip, if you are someone
that's
that
like a really organized person,
just I put it in my calendar and I click every year for people's birthdays. Put it in my calendar, click recur every year, so I know. Sometimes I might not check my calendar that day, so I might still forget something, but anyway, just in case you are someone that wants to remember more, I think it's a good tip. But it's the social media thing, she said, but she posted about it on social media and she saw. So I feel like she feels really hurt that, like, you know, you might not have to remember it, but I've posted about it.
Yeah.
And she's not reached out. Like,
yeah.
What do you think about that, social media queen?
I think it's such a difficult one. Like, the whole social media thing. Like, we've literally just done an episode on social media. She might have seen it, but it might have just, you know, been like a quick thing she's kind of gone past. Maybe she thought, oh, do you know what, I need to message her, but maybe she's busy.
Yeah.
But also, it, like, she might just not know or think, if it's not been communicated with her, that that's really important for you to have her get in touch and express a love and a thought. Like, for me, if I know, like, my friend's going through something, or, like, well, you know, when it's like a Father's Day or a Mother's Day and my friends haven't got either the mum or the dad, like, I will always message them. And but that's because of the type of person I am. And it's like, obviously, the type of person you are to put it in your diary.
Yeah.
But some people are just not like that.
No, and they wouldn't, if she wouldn't expect the same back.
Yeah.
I think that's a key thing here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just the different expectations.
Yeah.
Like, if she doesn't expect it bad, she's not going to think for 1 minute you're getting pissed off that she's not doing it for you.
Yeah, and it's so hard because, like, we're not saying, like, you're the whole problem here. I think the miscommunication, or what we're thinking is miscommunication. We don't know what conversations have been had. But it's the miscommunication. If you don't communicate your expectations, which essentially are boundaries, what I always say, and in every situation, and I guess I'm quite like a tough love person, is when you expect someone to do something and they fall short of those expectations that they're unaware of, then you're only letting yourself down. And, like, it might sound really harsh, but where there's no communication, the other person's not to know.
Yeah. There's so much, I feel like so much resentment here as well.
Yeah.
Like, I just had a little quick read over, like, as you were talking then, and I just feel like just even the, you know, I reached out to her when a great uncle, she wasn't very close to him, but I reached out and said, I'm sorry for your loss. Like, I don't feel like she even wanted to say, I'm sorry for your loss.
But it's because she's resented. I'm doing
because,
this.
Yeah, because she didn't do it for her mum.
Yeah.
But she's like, look, I've done this even though I don't want to. But that, to me, that just screams like things are really not okay.
We're still trying to one up.
Yeah, you still. It's just point scoring. It's not, oh, my friend, I'm feeling for her. I want to say, like, I'm sorry for your loss. I feel like Oof. Yeah, I feel like this is my thing, isn't it? I say, like, if the love is lost, I think that's just, like, really difficult. And to me, it sounds like here, like, the love. I don't hear any love, do you?
No. And I think you're only going to be able to set yourself free when you can let go of just, expecting her to show up for you in this way.
Who do we think is the problem?
We don't have the full context. And I always say with things like this, like, there's three sides to every story. There's going to be her side, there's going to be the other person's side, and then there's going to be the truth.
Yeah.
And until we had the other person's full side, like, the other person might be like, yeah, we didn't want to reach out. We don't want to be a friend. Yeah. Which is like, it's shit.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's probably her problem. She's not communicated that.
Yeah.
It's probably the lack of communication is the problem. And whether that's come from your side, whether that's come from her side, I think that's what the problem is.
Yeah. Okay, so we're blaming it on the miscommunication.
Yeah.
Not specifically. It's a tricky one. I liked reading it, though, to be fair. But yeah, no, that's tricky. Mm-hmm. It's like another heartbreak situation, but it just sounds a bit hostile, doesn't it? It sounds like to me it's over. I think she even says, doesn't she, out of principle, she doesn't even want to forgive her.
Yeah.
So I think we're done. She just wanted to know if she was being the problem or not.
Yeah.
I think she is a little bit, but I reckon the other person probably too.
Yeah.
You're both the problem there.
Yeah, and
it's just been a clash, hasn't it?
Yeah. The best thing for you right now is to put that friendship to bed and move on with your other friends who are able to give you the love that you want in the way that you want it.
Yep, exactly that. Perfect.
Job done. One done.
Do you want to read one?
Okay. So this is one that I think, like, we could have different views. We might not, because I feel like we have the same views on a lot of things. But basically, somebody said, my friend moved to Canada 5 years ago. I think that's always hard, like long-distance friendships.
Yep. The physical, even with phones, the physical distancing is always hard.
Yeah. And we always stayed in contact with voice notes, FaceTime, etc. And it was like nothing had changed. But recently, I'm finding it really difficult to connect with her because we're now 39. I've just had a baby and I'm living my lovely little family bubble at home. And she's living her best single life. But when she's telling me about her boy dramas and the same guy she's been on and off with millions of times, I just find myself zoning out, wanting to be like, grow up, in capital letters.
Oh.
And now I've just stopped asking for updates because I can't hide how I feel. Next paragraph. And I feel like she's the same with my baby updates. Are we just too different now, or is there hope of saving this? Please help. Now, you're a mum. Mm-hmm. I'm not a mum. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think, first of all, baby stuff is tough. When you have a baby, like everyone says, your life completely changes. It's flipped upside down. Your priorities are the baby. So I get how friendships can change and you kind of lose that little bit of like common ground if your best friend doesn't have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like your conversation is so good, it's like just takes up your whole life at least for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I understand.
But I feel like they have to have interest. Like, I feel like we've only got like closer, but I'm really interested in you being a mum.
So you make a lot of effort. Does that come naturally to you though, or are you making effort?
No, I feel like that comes naturally to me.
Right, okay. So for this situation, this other girl is clearly, you know, she's saying she feels like her friend isn't interested in the baby updates.
Yeah.
So I feel like they've lost their like common interest. Like one's single, one's got a family. They really are quite like defining moments in your life, like having a baby, like having a family, or choosing not to.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you don't respect each other's choices, and how the other person is living their life, which to me it sounds like they're not respecting each other's thing, then I feel like it's a struggle to save it. Or it's at least for now, while things are so, if you've just had a baby, things are very intense.
Yeah.
So I feel like, to me, it sounds like a tough situation that I feel like a lot of people go through. And I'm just thinking, I'm seeing problems again on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Are you clearly seeing one person is more the problem than the other?
Well, it's hard to tell because we've only got this side of the story.
I didn't like the
grow up in capital letters. And I don't know, I think
she's not, did she say that she's thinking that she's not actually saying to
she's
us.
She's not said it.
Grow up. She's saying she's thinking that.
She said, I'm just finding myself zoning out, wanting to be like grow up.
I think that's a problem.
I think, and so as someone who isn't a mum, I've definitely noticed it in some mums, like mum friends, and it's very few, but it still happens. And they suddenly, when they have a baby, look down on people who haven't had a baby, and people who are still wanting to go out and like go to the pub on a Friday, they still like going out drinking, and you know, they prioritize that, just that life, like that different life.
Yeah.
And whereas pre-baby, that mum, that might have been really enjoyable for them, and they, you know, they would have been with them and they would have loved it
as
well.
That's where I think you've got no fucking right, hon. It's the fact that they could be, you know, that's what goes on in my head.
Yeah.
So someone to have liked that at one point, then had a baby, but then to judge someone for still being there, like, no.
But I think, do you know what? I noticed this as like a big personality trait for some people. They can only, and he's like, get the right words for this. They can only like see life as far as where they're currently at.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, if somebody's not living the same way that they are, even if they've just changed their mind. So it might be someone who's always been in a relationship, they're newly single, and now they are pro-single. Why are people in relationships? Why would people ever have a relationship when you can be single? And they have that completely different shift.
Yeah.
And then they get into a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you want to be single? Like, life is so much better when you're in a relationship. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hate that. That's such a red flag to me.
And it's
because it means you can't ever zone out and just look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, and I feel like if you're someone who's like that, it can be really hard to be friends with someone like that. I found it difficult before because I'm like, but why can't it just be okay for people to do them and we can just kind of accept what everybody's doing?
Yeah.
We don't need to look down on it. Yeah. We don't need to look up at it. No, it just is what it is.
It's the acceptance. I called it respect. That's that kind of how I see it. Just respecting whatever that person wants to do. But it's actually just accepting whatever that person wants to do without there even being anything deeper or to it.
There doesn't need to be judgment.
No,
your life isn't better than theirs because you're making different choices.
Yeah.
But I think with this, like, it's difficult because obviously we've got your point of view. And if that friend, like you said at the end, I feel like she's the same with my baby update. So she's not very interested, eye rolling when you're giving her the baby updates, talking about your baby. You know, if she's feeling like that towards you, where she's just like boring, whatever, and like that's the vibe you're getting, it's really difficult. And like,
especially with the physical distance, because they can't just be like, do something, have that common ground, like, should we go for a drink?
Yeah, go and have a good time together.
That. It's either a FaceTime with probably your baby in the background or her. You know, they've not got that separation. It's just talking about basically their current lives and how different they are from each other.
Yeah. And it's like, did you see, I'm sure you did because I think we spoke about it, there was this thing going around on TikTok. I think it was a clip from a podcast and it was a woman talking about friendships and how when you get to a certain age, she said the thing that she thinks like dies in friendships is how you meet up and all you're doing is catching up.
Yeah,
you're talking about your problems and your dramas and like everything that's going on, and you stop meeting up to go and do something to have yeah. fun and like make memories. I think yeah. that's what she was saying. You don't make memories anymore.
Did we speak about this on the podcast or were we just chatting about it?
I don't know if we were going to talk about it in the friendship one, but then I think we ended up
doing something else. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so obviously where they've got that physical distance, they're not making memories.
No.
They're just catching up.
They're just catching up. And neither of them seem to be that interested in what's happening in each other's life. So the catch up is just it's just landing flat.
Yeah.
I bet they just want to do the thumbs up emoji yeah. to each other.
Boring.
Boring. Like, boring. Yeah, like, oh, so that's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it can't not be saved though.
Yeah.
I think it's just one of those tricky phases.
Mm-hmm. I think for like the person who's written in, I think if you could practice some more of that acceptance towards your friend and like, wait, maybe when she's telling you the stories, like, just try to feel excited for her and, yeah, like, you know, get involved with the dramas and stuff like that. Because I've got quite a boring life, but I've got friends who are just constantly in drama. And sometimes I love just fucking sitting listening to it. I'm not like, judging what they're doing or anything. I just love, like, I'm like, this is entertaining for me. Yeah.
I feel like listening is a big one for that though, because do you not find yourself sometimes with those catch-ups or back and forth conversations, just waiting for their turn to say what they've been doing?
Yeah.
But are you actually listening and thinking, oh, you did that? Like, you're not taking interest.
Mm.
Are you just literally hitting the ball back and forth about what you've both been doing? Like, of course you're both just going to be like, right, whatever. If it's been, if, you know, their lives have been different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. So we think it could be saved, maybe if she moved back from Canada.
Who is the problem? That is the question.
Oh, I think because we're only getting one perspective. And I think what I don't love is the grow up.
Yes.
Because a friend might not be interested.
Yeah.
But to be like, grow up just because her friend is... you know, still wanting to go out and like drink and like, she's got boy dramas.
Yeah.
It's not a reason to tell someone to grow up.
No, it isn't.
So.
Listen, right, if it's you and your problem and you're listening, we're not saying you are the problem, but from what we've heard on this tiny little snapshot,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe we're both thinking that you're being a bit of the problem.
Yeah, and I think what's really important to like elaborate on here, when we're saying you're the problem, and like this is something, when I first got into like self-development when I was like 19, 20, there was this one life coach who used to do all of the self-development stuff and he was called Tony Robbins.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he might be a bit of a problem now. I think
Is there a Mel Robbins?
There's a Mel Robbins. Are but then related? No. It's no so way. Wild. Because yeah. she actually was starting to come up just after him. But he was like the go-to guy for self-development. I'd never heard of anything like limiting beliefs, values, any of that before I came across him.
Uh-huh.
And he really like quite changed my life from afar. Because that was like when I was healing from my eating disorder and stuff and I started to understand who I was. Anyway, I went to see him. He did a seminar in London for a weekend and he shares all of these like ethoses that he lives by in his life. And one of the biggest things is that you have to learn to take ownership of everything in your life. And at the time I was 20, like my frontal lobe hasn't developed and I'm thinking, what? So I just blame myself for absolutely everything that happens in my life. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem fair. It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've got older, I've started to realize how much power that you, like personal power you have when you can learn to try and take ownership of everything that happens for you and to you.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just like play the victim, beat yourself up and like just say, oh, yeah, it was all me. It was all my problem. I'm sort of like apologizing for situations that aren't yours to apologize for.
Yeah.
But in everything that you go through, start to recognize like, what role did I play in this? Like, what mm-hmm. part did I have to play in this?
Yeah.
And it could be you've let something go on for too long when really that person's shown you who they are from the beginning.
Yeah.
It could be, and you know, a lot of people do that in relationships, in friendships. So when we're saying like, you're the problem, I think it's it puts things in your, like, you're now in control.
Yeah.
You're now in your power to think, what can I do to change this situation? Or what can I do to start trying to change this situation?
Yeah.
Like, what role am I playing?
Like, there's actually some beauty in that for me. Like,
yeah.
Like, if I'm the problem, that means I can actually look, I can assess what I can do,
yeah.
what I don't actually want to do, but the ball's kind of in my court.
Exactly.
And I don't have to be like subject, I don't have to be the victim, because actually I'm not the victim.
No.
Yeah. No, I get that.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. Like, I'd almost prefer to be the problem, because yeah. I can maybe alter or control things a little bit.
Exactly. But in every situation, we all have a part to play. And I don't mean deaths and illnesses. They're like unforeseen mm-hmm. and we don't have a role to play in them. But in almost like everything that involves some kind of connection mm-hmm. or something like work where you have to show up and do something,
yeah.
what part have you had to play
yeah.
in that greater problem?
Yeah. But I feel like it takes a lot of... Is it like self-reflection
or yeah.
self-awareness?
A lot of ego of dying.
To go into that, to actually like look at it from afar mm-hmm. and be like, actually, has this come up a lot? Like, does this happen with like lots of other people? Am I actually the problem?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like it's quite hard to do that.
It is, but I think that's because like ego is such a huge thing, and like your ego never wants to admit that you're the problem.
Yeah.
But like when you can let that drop, that ego, and recognize, especially in this situation, she's asking, is there hope in saving this? She wants to save it.
Yeah.
So how can she, like, if she could go into a conversation like the next FaceTime with a friend and say, listen, I've noticed that since I've had a baby, I'm like, I'm judging you for the choices you're making in your life, and I don't like myself for judging you, and I don't like it for our friendship.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think about that? Or like, how have you been feeling towards me?
Yeah.
And like me having a baby and the things I'm talking about, and like, you can open up a conversation then. You're not just being like, you pointing fingers like you've done this, you've done that. Like, it's because of you that this friendship has broken down.
And I love the thought of that, and I think that sounds lovely, and that's how I would like to broach things. But that person also needs to be very understanding and on the same wavelength, or that could go to shit. Imagine, like, you know, if it's someone that won't look at themselves, like, you know, and it's just like, you're fucking judging me, like, you know, can you imagine?
It, at least you know you've done the right thing.
Yeah.
And
I think it's great advice. I think that's what, if she can do that, I think that's like a great thing that she should do.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a great bit of advice. I'm just laughing at the thought, like, you know, of the other person not receiving it well because she's not willing to look at herself.
Yeah, but at that time, I remember one time, like, this mentor said to me, some of the best conversations you will ever have will end fucking terribly at first. Uh-huh. And it will only be within like 3 months, a year, that person will actually realize.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone is able to like meet you where you're at, because someone can only meet you as far as they can meet themselves.
Right.
Do you get that?
Yes, get that.
And
yes.
So they might not be in that place where they're able to drop their ego and look at the, you know, the part they're playing. Yeah. But in a years to come, they might.
Yeah. And they can reflect on it, and then they can like see the conversation in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
Fully get that. And that actually can happen just with like growing up in maturity, can't it?
Yeah.
I've done that before, where I've thought back about conversations I've had when I was like, you know, younger, and just thought, that would so not go that way now.
Oh, definitely. Like me and like my best friend, who's been my best friend since we were dead little, we recently had a conversation about stuff that went on when we were like 17, 18.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, we're now 30. It was such a healing conversation where we were able to say, if that happened now, this is what I would have done differently.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that was like, what, 12 years on?
Wow.
Is that even 12, or is it more than that? Yeah, 12.
Should we just do a little one?
Yeah.
Two little ones?
Yeah.
Okay, two little ones. I'd like to know, am I being too sensitive? I lose friends every few years. Is this normal? Mm. I would say she's the problem.
Mm.
Because I feel like when you're thinking, am I the problem for something like that, I would look at if there's a pattern, and you've just very clearly said there's a pattern. She loses friends every few years.
Yeah.
I don't think that's not... I feel like you can lose friends, but not in a pattern way.
Yeah, like it's, every few years.
Yeah, fine to be like randomised, and you might like have more than one like friendship breakup, but to lose friends every few years... No, I think there's something to look at there. I don't know if it means if she is being too sensitive. I don't know why she loses them or, you know, any of the details. That's all she said. But I can pretty much guarantee that she's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Sounds awful, doesn't it? Like, yep, you're the problem. But yeah. But like you said, that could be a good thing. That means you've got the power. Look at your behaviour patterns. Yeah. Like, or what is it that gets too much for you? What is it? So to me, it seems like she might be getting hurt if she says she's being too sensitive. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine what it is that's making her lose friends every few years.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she's playing the victim, or not play, feels the victim.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, with your self-reflection, because I used to struggle with friendships, I found, and, like, kind of, it was more in my 20s. Mm-hmm. I never felt, like, really close to people. Mm. And I could never figure out what that was. But I'd learned, like, it was my abandonment. Like, oh, my God.
Avoidant
attachment.
People
style.
Want to talk. Not we won't do it this episode, but we need to touch on that in an episode, because people are really interested in that, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's been a massive thing for me, like, healing that attachment style. Because I found I would have kind of like a similar thing in friendships where we would get close, and then because my head would be like, oh, this person's eventually going to leave because everybody leaves, mm-hmm. I would start withdrawing. I was never doing it consciously. It's mm-hmm. just what happened. Mm-hmm. Like, whenever I felt too close to someone, it was like, warning, this person's going to leave. Like, you need to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Could something like that be happening? Yeah. And, like, so maybe that's something when you're doing a bit of reflection on this, maybe it's something you could explore. Like, are you, maybe not consciously or knowingly, are you starting to put a few, like, blocks in place or starting to withdraw that's causing friendships to end? And, like, that's why this is happening for you every few years.
Yeah. Yeah, great advice.
Okay, final one. Somebody said, my two best friends have moved in together. She put in brackets, they met through me. I'm so bothered.
Yeah, I would be so bothered also. Mm-hmm. No, that's just tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really, really just tough. I actually don't think I would be so bothered in terms of... It's hard because it's like... But it's hard. It's like it's a practical thing. They're moving it. Like, I'm sure it's because they both, the rent might be up somewhere else. They're both looking for a place. Like, you know, it's a very practical thing that actually comes with a lot of emotion, like for this other girl, because I'm sure she's just scared of missing out. FOMO. There's probably a bit of jealousy, but I feel like they're all valid.
Yeah.
You know? Do you?
Yeah. And I think, like, a lot of my friendships are, I call them, like, stragglers. Like, I literally just have random friends through times of my life. And then I introduce all my friends. Like, I'm not shy to, like, have a birthday party and have all these friends from, like, different places.
No, me neither. But I know I have a few friends that are like that.
They would never mix.
They would keep them separate because they're scared of... them getting becoming friends.
Yeah. But like,
I love that. Like, oh, please be friends.
Me too. Like, yeah. I think it's such a great thing. And I think, so I've definitely been in situations where then my friends have become really good friends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you are, like, you know, when they want to do things and they maybe like don't ask you because I don't know.
It's
just
not popped into their head. Yeah, it's no biggie.
Yeah, we just both wanted to chill, so that's just kind of what we did. Yeah. Maybe there's been no malice that they've not asked me or whatever.
Yeah.
But it can hurt. It can be quite like hard. But I think where I've shifted my mindset with it is thinking like how amazing that like these people who both like I've loved so much, now like love each other.
Yeah.
And it's created this friendship. And like we don't own people. So we don't own the like them friends individually.
Yeah.
Like maybe they just really get on, and what a great thing that is.
I know, and but that's the problem, isn't it? It's just the like kind of the, it's not, what's a better word than jealousy? Because that yeah. is that is what it is, but not a nice way. But you'd be jealous, like yeah. think of all, because I'd be like, think of all the fun times they're gonna have. Like, I want them to have them, but I want to be involved.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be, logistically I'm not there, I don't live in the house with mm-hmm. them. So I reckon I'd just try, and especially if you're like, I don't know, if they're a bit of a three, do you think maybe they're a threesome?
Yeah,
and
I reckon
two,
so.
And then two are moving in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just invite myself around all the time.
Yeah.
Just trying, you know.
She needs to see it as it is, not more than it is.
Yeah.
And she needs to remind herself that just because those two have moved in together doesn't mean that she's now not their friend.
Yeah.
She's still very much part of that friendship.
Yeah.
Just them two are living together now.
Yeah.
So she can still go chill with them. She can yeah. still go like be part of whatever she wants to be part of. Like, they're yes, still friends.
They are going to see each other more. But also, they're probably going to start pissing each other off yeah. more because they live together.
I know. And probably eventually she's going to be stuck in the messy middle where they're both coming to slack each other off
yeah.
to her.
Don't worry too much. I know.
But also, I do think like the reality of living someone, they're not going to be like throwing parties together every
yeah.
night.
It's not sleepovers, cucumber eye masks. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. yeah. They're probably going to be like, oh, she's not fucking cleaned up, or, you know, yeah. there's going to be, yeah.
Or they're going to pass in the kitchen, like, yeah. Hey, how was your day? Good, thanks. Yeah, good. Going to go up to my room.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, don't worry
Try,
about
yeah.
it.
It's I think it's absolutely valid mm. to be bothered, but don't deep it just yet.
Yeah, see how it goes.
Just see if it's a nice little thing and you're all going to have lovely times in this new shag pad.
Right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed us analysing people's problems. We hope we've not offended everyone. Like, please remember that if you're the problem, you're in power.
Yeah. It's only good if you're the problem.
Yeah.
And if you're not, it's also good.
So yeah, we hope you've enjoyed that episode. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, make sure to follow us on social. Well, two girls in the world_
Yeah,
it is. Follow us on there, and you can like watch the clips as well and see what Vic did to my hair. What did you call it? Let's do a Molly
the Molly
May bun.
Yeah, that's what she used to do her hair like every night on Love Island.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't bloody remember. Yeah. Anyway, guys, I've got a big Molly May bun in.
Yeah, and like and subscribe to the podcast because that really helps us out.
It does.
Thank you.
Bye.
Love you. See you next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.